السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو، ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه، ومن أصدق من الله حديثا. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل. If you recall, brothers and sisters, last week the discussion revolved around the concept of al-barzakh, which I mentioned is an intermediary realm that we will experience after death, beginning with death, until what is known as al-ba'th, or resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And after death, what awaits is the first stage of the hereafter, is what is known as al-barzakh, this realm where we experience إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, until the day of resurrection. This is the first stage of the hereafter. And I mentioned that for some, this stage, immediately after death, the life that we have in the grave, alamul arwah, the world of the souls or the spirits, or the world of the grave, for many, this is a very difficult time. It's a very difficult time, because it's something new. It's something that we're not accustomed to. We are accustomed to living our lives with one another. We have our spouse maybe, we have our parents, our children, siblings, we have friends, we have co-workers, we have acquaintances, we have people that we know, and we're used to living our life socially with people around us. And yet, at the time of death, we're taking to this new home where we are completely alone. And for some, this is very difficult. And this is why Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says it so powerfully in Dua Abu Hamzat al-Thimali, this beautiful dua. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says, وَارْحَمْنِي صَرِيعًا عَلَى الْفِرَاجِ تُقَلِّبُنِي أَيْدِي أَحِبَّتِي. O my Lord, have mercy upon me when I am lying down at the time of death. And what? تُقَلِّبُنِي أَيْدِي أَحِبَّتِي. I'm between family members, surrounded by family members. Yet at that critical time, I need you to express mercy upon me. And then he says, وَتَفَضَّلْ عَلَيَّ مَمْدُودًا عَلَى الْمُخْتَسَلْ تُقَلِّبُنِي صَالِحُ جِيرَتِي. And show mercy and compassion upon me when I am lying, being washed and prepared, and shrouded, على المختسل, where I am prepared, my body is prepared. وتحنن علي محمولا قد تناول الأقرباء أطراف جنازتي. And show mercy upon me when I am being carried, when family members and friends, they are carrying my corpse, they are carrying my body towards where? Towards its final resting place. And then he says, وَجُدْ عَلَيَّ مَنْقُولًا قَدْ نَزَلْتُ بِكَ وَحِيدًا فِي حُفْرَتِ. And show mercy upon me, kindness, compassion upon me when I enter into my pit, when I enter into my grave alone, وَحِيدًا. Alone, that's it. No one's there with you. We are sent and we are put in the grave alone. Yes, some people are friends, family members, they might partake and participate in our funeral, in our procession. But then, after we are buried, that's it, we're alone. وَارْحَمْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ الْبَيْتِ الْجَدِيدِ غُرْبَتِي. O my Lord, have mercy upon me in this new home. This new home, when I am alone, when there is no one around, I need your mercy, O my Lord. وَارْحَمْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ الْبَيْتِ الْجَدِيدِ غُرْبَتِي حَتَّى لَا أَسْتَأْنِسَ بِغَيْرِكَ. To a point, have mercy upon me, to a point where I do not find solace, where I do not find serenity and peace and happiness, except with whom? With you. Except that I know that you are there with me, that I have a connection with you during that time where I am alone. And so it is incumbent for us, and I mentioned this briefly last week, it's incumbent for us, brothers and sisters, to prepare for that time. And there are many actions that we can do that can help us during this very difficult time, make this a much more pleasant and calm and peaceful time for us, not so difficult for us. There are many actions that we can perform. So this is the first stage. The second stage is what? Is the ba'th. I said the barzakh, it continues until al-ba'th, which is resurrection. Resurrection, according to the Qur'an and according to our teachings, is preceded by what? Is preceded by the end of this world. Each one of us, we have a specific time in this life. When we die, we enter into barzakh and we stay until the day of resurrection. However, in addition to our death, every individual's death, the Qur'an tells us that this world and this life will also come to an end. It will cease to exist. And the Qur'an vividly illustrates to us some of the apocalyptic events, especially if you go to the 30th juz, the 30th section of the Qur'an, the shorter surahs, you'll notice that many of them, they describe vividly some of the events, the final events before the end of time. One prime example is Surah At-Takwir, chapter 81, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us details of events that signify the end of time. And we notice that our traditions, they talk about a concept known as Akhiru Zaman. Some of you may have heard of this term. We usually use this term all the time. Akhiru Zaman means what? Means the end of time, the end of this world. And there are many traditions that tell us about certain features, how the end of time will look like. Some of you may be aware of these, you might have read them or come across them. Where the traditions, they tell us that there will come a time, في آخر الزمان, at the end of time. They don't necessarily specify how long this period is. It could be a few years, it could be decades, it could be hundreds of years. However, the final period of time, the final era before the end of time, is known as آخر الزمان. The narrations, they tell us that this is a time where there will be much corruption. There will be much indecency. There will be much immorality. Where faith will just be a claim. People will make claims to faith, but there will be no sincerity. There will be no actual faith amongst people. Where there will be corruption. The hadith say that during that time, those leaders and those scholars and those people who assume leadership of the community, in general, they will become corrupt. They will take advantage. The hadith, they say that it will be a time where the Qur'an is not taken except for what? لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه. From Islam, nothing will remain except what? Except its name. There will be no authentic Islam. Meaning, people will not express authentic faith. It will just be a title. I'm Muslim. It will just be a banner that people express. لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا من القرآن إلا رسمه. And the Qur'an will be appreciated. Why? Because of the calligraphy. The calligraphy is nice. The way that it's written is nice. Otherwise, the Qur'an, the essence of the Qur'an, the meaning of the Qur'an, the message of the Qur'an in general, people will have abandoned it. And there are many traditions that talk about the end of time. They tell us that during this time there will be many distractions and there will be many temptations. And this is somewhat what we see today. A lot of what we see today, the corruption that's going on all across the world. The killing of innocent people, oppression, injustice, people being taken advantage of internationally, nationally, locally. When it comes to business transactions, people want to make a quick buck, they want to get ahead, and so they'll deceive others. When it comes to family relations, there's deceit. When it comes to society and that we live in, there are many distractions that push us away from genuine faith, from authentic faith. The hadith says that this time, a time will come where holding on to faith, authentic faith, is like holding on to what? Onto coal, a burning piece of coal. It's impossible for us to attempt to hold onto a burning piece of coal without burning our hand. We won't be able to, not even for a second. The hadith says that holding on to religion and holding on to pure faith and authentic faith, sincere faith, during this time, the end of time, is what? Is like holding on to a burning coal. It's very difficult because of the temptations and the distractions. The other hadith, another prominent hadith by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He was with his companions one day and he told them, "Oh my companions, there will come a time where the believers, they will receive 50 times the amount of rewards that you receive. 50 times more than what you receive for actions." Some of them, you know, they got offended. They told him, "Ya Rasulullah, but you know, we're your close companions. We're the ones that were with you from day one. We were there with you through thick and thin. We fought in battles. We gave our lives. We gave our possessions. We gave everything for your sake. We were there with you from the beginning. What about us? We are the pioneers." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he told them, he said, "The difference is that you see me. You interact with me. You see my miracles. You see me before. You hear me. And so it's much easier for you to have faith because I'm right there. I'm right in front of you. You're interacting with me on a daily basis." Yet there will come a time in the end of time where believers, they will believe in me without having seen me. They will have strong faith, where their faith will be so strong that they are able to overcome any temptation, any distraction. And because of this sincerity, because of this extreme patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. He will give them a greater reward. Because the challenges that they face will be much greater. And so the hadith, they talk about the end of time and certain events that occur before the end of time. And then the Qur'an tells us that there will come a moment where everything will end. The Qur'an in a number of places tells us that a trumpet or a horn will be blown, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. And this twice, this will occur twice. The first time will signify what? The end of time. Everything will end. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in chapter 39, verse 68, He says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. And the horn will be blown, or the trumpet will be blown, signifying the end. Everything will cease to exist. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Except those whom God has willed that they do not. Now, when we go to the books of tafsir, there's differences amongst the interpreters, the exegetes. What does this mean? Who is this group that are an exception? And there are many differences. Some of them, they say that this is the prophets and the imams and the shuhada, because the Qur'an tells us that those who die in the way of Allah, they're what? They're not dead, they're alive. عند ربهم يرزقون, with their Lord. Some say, no, these are some of the major angels, Jibra'il, Mika'il, Israfil, Azra'il, the major angels, the most prominent of angels. And so there's much discussion. However, in the end, everything will cease to exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everyone and everything on it, on the earth, in this life, in this universe, will cease to exist. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The only thing that will remain will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Your Lord, the Lord of Majesty. The hadith, they say that Israfil, the angel Israfil, he is the one who blows the horn. Of course, there is also debate between the scholars as to what this signifies. What is this sur? What is this horn or trumpet? And most of them have said this is a metaphor. Because during that time and other times, we notice, and especially today, we notice that the beginning and end of something is usually done with what? With a certain signal, a certain sound. We notice this in lots of things, right? We notice this in sports, for instance. You notice that in sports, right? The match starts with what? With a whistle. The referee whistles. Or you know, another signal. It ends with a buzzer or another whistle. So this sound is a metaphor, a signal for the beginning or the end of something. It's not that the angel actually takes, you know, a horn and blows into the horn. No, this is a metaphor for a certain sign signifying the beginning or the end. So the narrations that say, they say that Israfil, angel Israfil, he blows into this horn by the command of God, and this signals the end. All cease to exist, and only Israfil remains. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turns towards Israfil. The narration says. And he says, Israfil, die. It's your time too. You have to go also. The angel of death himself has to go also. After he's done, you know, after he's done taking millions and millions and millions of lives, billions of lives, a time will come for the angel of death also to leave. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says, after everything ceases to exist, Allah will announce, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. To who the sovereignty and kingdom belong to today? The kings and the leaders who held on to their thrones and their positions for so long, and they felt like they owned the land, and they began to call the land and countries under their names. This belongs to this family and that family, and this tribe and that tribe, and this dynasty and that leader and this president and that vice president. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Sovereignty today belongs to no one except لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. To the Lord, the one Lord who has authority and sovereignty over everything. So this will be the first. And then the Qur'an tells us there will be a second sound signifying what? Signifying the resurrection, al-ba'th. Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. And then he says, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And then the sound will come again. The horn will be blown again. Signifying what? Allowing the resurrection. That everyone will be raised once again. The resurrection once again. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. This will signify what is known as what? The Day of Resurrection. And the Day of Resurrection has many different names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an uses many different names and attributes to define this day. One is Yawmul Qiyamah or Al-Qiyamah, which is mentioned the most frequently in the Qur'an, about 70 times, Yawmul Qiyamah. Other names that are mentioned are As-Sa'ah, the hour, Al-Haqqah, and there are many others, Al-Yawm Al-Akhir, Al-Qari'ah. Many, many names that are mentioned to signify this day in the Qur'an. All rise, they all rise. We are all resurrected from the beginning of creation until the end of creation, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّا. They will stand in ranks, in lines before their Lord. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفًّا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You have come to us exactly the same way that we first created you. بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَلَّن نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا. And some of you, you claimed that you would not come back, that you would not be resurrected. You didn't believe that you would be brought forth before God. But here it is. Now you witness that you are being resurrected and you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith, they tell us, and the Qur'an, they tell us also, like al-barzakh, يوم القيامة, the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, is also a difficult time. In general, it's a difficult time. You can only imagine the masses and masses, all of creation standing in accountability before God. There's fear, there's difficulty. If God forbid, inshallah, none of you have to witness this, but if one day someone has to go to court, even if you're not the person that's being tried, even if you're a juror, just being in a courthouse is something scary. It's not something that, you know, people generally appreciate. Some people, they may look forward to it. They look forward to the jury summons. But in general, people don't. Because it's something that is fearful. It's something that is agitating. Being somewhere where accountability, where there's accountability, where there's judgment. The Quran tells us that one day, a description, there are many descriptions of the Day of Judgment, that one day there is equal to what? Equal to 50,000 years here. فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً. One day is equal to 50,000 years. And that most people, they will be preoccupied on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. A day where the father and the son, the siblings, the wife and the husband, they will all run away from one another. They'll run away. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ. Firar. It's from firar. To run away, not to even look back. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Allah says what? لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. For each of them on that day, they are engrossed in their own personal concerns. They're completely preoccupied. They don't have time for anyone else. They don't have time for their father or mother or their spouse or their children or anyone else. Everyone is preoccupied with themselves, with their own concerns, with their own issues. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. And then we are held accountable. And the Qur'an in a number of verses tells us that we are held accountable individually. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, He says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. And once the trumpet or the horn is blown, once the Day of Judgment comes, there is no more blood relations. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Blood relations on that day, they don't help. This person is my father, this person is my cousin, this person is, you know, my uncle. Doesn't work. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. They will not even ask about one another. They'll be concerned. Each person will individually be held accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, He says, إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا. On that day, everyone from the heavens and everyone from the earth, they will come to their Lord as what? As slaves. As slaves. Doesn't matter who you are. You are a president one day, you are a king one day, you are CEO, you were a community leader, you were a scholar, you were a sayyid, sheikh, it doesn't matter. On that day, everyone comes as what? As a servant. And then Allah says, لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّى. Each one of them is counted. Each one. You know, when you go to Children, they go to a field trip, when they're going on a field trip at school, before they go, the teachers or the people in charge, they do what? They do a head count. They count how many kids. And then during the field trip, they do it at lunchtime, you know, during the breaks. Often they make a head count. They make sure that everyone is there before they get on the bus back to school again. They do a head count. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everyone will be counted for. Everyone will be there. No exception. The prophets and the imams and the angels and all of the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth. And then Allah says, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. We have salat jama'ah and we have salat furada. Jama'ah means in congregation, furada means what? Single, alone. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Everyone will come individually before Allah. They'll all come individually. No more entourage. The entourage and the bodyguards and the secret service and, you know, all of this, it doesn't work anymore. No clique, no friends, no supporters, no bodyguards, no friends, no family. None of that works. No sense of, oh, I'm chosen. I'm part of this group. And so I should be held accountable based on my participation with this group. No, in Islam, we have no concept. The concept of group is not accepted in Islam. We are all considered as individuals. We are individually held responsible. Many, and I hear this frequently, and sometimes even within the circles of the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the Shia, we hear this sometimes. We say, oh, well, you know what? I'm Shia. It's okay. As long as I go visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, I visit Amir al-Mu'mineen in Najaf, I stick to his dharih, I kiss his dharih, as long as, you know, I have the tasbih of Imam Hussein in my pocket, for instance, as long as I recite dua kumail every Thursday night, dua tawassul Tuesday night, I come and I cry on the day of Ashura, I'm Shia and it's okay. Everything else is fine. That doesn't matter. As long as I'm Shia, as long as I have the love of Ahlul Bayt, this will help me. Absolutely not. That doesn't work. Yes, of course, it's important that we express our love and affection and attachment to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Ahlul Bayt. They are the best of creation. There's no doubt about that. And we are considered and expected to do so. But just a title by itself will not help us on the Day of Judgment, brothers and sisters. A title does not help us. On the other hand, we have verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that on that day, in addition to be called individually, we will also be called as groups. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. And on the day in which every nation, every group will be called by whom? بِإِمَامِهِمْ. What's imam? The imam is the leader. Very simply, it doesn't require a metaphor. It doesn't require for us to turn around to try a different meaning. No, imam is imam. Imam is a leader. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, some will also be called by their leaders. And they will follow their leaders. Or they will go in groups. And the verses, they tell us that for some, there will also be intercession, which is known as shafa'ah. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Intercession, brothers and sisters, and this must be said, because intercession is one of those things that is misunderstood within Shia circles and outside. Many outside, they claim, they say, oh, look at the Shia, mashallah, every day something new. Every day they're giving the Prophet and the Imams and the Ahlul Bayt a new attribute. Every day it's a new superpower. They're given the ability to do A, B, C, D, and they're given the ability to intercede. On that day, all of the Ahlul Bayt, they will stand there and they will intercede upon their followers. Intercession is there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. It's not independent. We do not believe that the ability of intercession and shafa'ah of the prophets and the imams and the noble people is independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely not. It is through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the capacity that is given by Allah, the permission that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to some, that allows them to do what? To perform. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. In another verse, Allah says, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ ارْتَضَى. They will not intercede except to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them permission and is pleased with. However, intercession is not free, brothers and sisters. Shafa'ah is not free. In fact, when we go and we recite and we read the narrations by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Ahlul Bayt, they tell us that Shafa'ah requires work. If we expect that our dear Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdalu salatu wassalam, that they intercede for us, we have to do something. It's not free. We don't just live our lives aimlessly and do whatever we want and then expect that we are given shafa'a in intercession. It doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. In fact, each imam, go and read the history of the imams. Go and read the history of the imams. Each one of the imams during his life and especially during his final moments, when he would give his final will, he would emphasize, he would say, لا تنال شفاعتنا مستخفا بصلاته. Our intercession will be for some people. Some people who slipped here and there, they made some mistakes. In general, they were good people, but they made mistakes. However, there are also limits. Part of the limits to this intercession is those who are what? مستخف بصلاته. Those who are heedless, those who are dismissive, those who pay very little or no attention to what? To their prayers. مُسْتَخِفًا بِصَلَاتِ. Those who they pray when they feel like praying. They feel, if it's the month of Ramadan, for example, because it's the month of Ramadan, I'm fasting, so I should pray also, because, you know, buy one, get one free. They go together. Prayers and fasting, they go together. And so during the month of Ramadan, my attempt, brothers and sisters, I'm not attempting to discourage anyone. And I hope this is not what is understood. But what we have to understand is the significance of prayers. Prayers is not just a ritual. It's not expected of us just for the sake of prayers. Just because it's the month of Ramadan, or just because it's, you know, Laylatul Qadr, or just because it's Muharram, or what have you. No, prayers has a spiritual essence to it. It has a spiritual component. For it to work, it has to be constant. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, prayers prevents, it stops us from doing evil and immoral things. For this to work, it has to be constant. It cannot be on and off. It doesn't work that way. Yes, praying sometimes is better than not praying at all. But we should always strive to be even better and more better. لا تنال شفاعتنا مستخفا بصلاة. The person who is dismissive. Or for them, there are other priorities. I'll get my work done. I'll finish this project. I'll finish this paper. And then I'll pray, inshallah. I have 6-7 hours. Alhamdulillah. Lots of time. We have to make sure that we do not fall into this trap. That we understand the importance of these issues. And then the scales are brought forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the mizan. That on that day, our deeds will be weighed. They will be weighed. Here, this is something important. Of course, this is also a metaphor. Just like the horn or the trumpet, this is also a metaphor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't get a physical scale and take our deeds and put them. No. This is a metaphor and signifies that what is important on the day of judgment in our accountability is not necessarily the quantity of our actions, but the quality of our actions. Because if it was about quantity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have said what? Calculator. Not scale, calculator. Because we want to add up how many you've done, how many prayers you've done, how many fasts, how much charity, how many dollars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? A scale. Because the value is weighed in the scale. And this tells us that what is more important than quantity is the quality of our actions, the sincerity and the authenticity of our actions. And this scale is a very precise scale. Sometimes you notice when you want to travel, you know, airlines, they have a limit to how much you can carry, check in, right? In terms of either the number of bags or weight. And sometimes most of us, what we end up doing in order to avoid problems is we weigh our bags before we go to the airport. But in most cases, there's always a discrepancy. You weigh your bag at home, right? It tells you, for instance, 48 pounds. You take it to the airport, it's always above 50. I don't know what the problem is. Is it the scale at home or the scale at the airport? I don't know. The scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very precise, because it's based on our intentions and actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the precise nature of our intentions. What percentage of my intention is sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what percentage of my intention is not. And so our deeds are based on that. And the Quran tells us that in fact our deeds, they also testify. The Quran tells us that our organs, they testify either for or against us. Allah says in the Quran, He says, حَتَّى إِذَا مَا جَاءُوهَا شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Their eyes and their ears and their organs, they will either testify for them or against them based on what they did. And then the people, this is in reference to the kuffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. He says, وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Some people, they will complain. They will tell their body parts, their organs, why are you testifying against me? What will they say? They will say, قَالُوا أَنْطَقَنَا اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today, He has allowed us to testify. We are exposed. Our actions are exposed. There is no running away. There's no running away. There's no way for us to deny. And this is a very important lesson for us, brothers and sisters. This is something that makes everyone uncomfortable. When we hear this, it makes us uncomfortable, because we all have our slips and mishaps here and there. We don't want our mishaps and our misdeeds and our actions to testify against us on that day. Many of the actions that we perform might be very shameful. This is a lesson for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling us that I want you to live your life. If this makes you feel uncomfortable in the hereafter, that you will be exposed, I want you to live this life as if your organs would testify. As if your organs and your deeds will tell you exactly and tell everyone exactly what's going on. And this is the essence of taqwa. Taqwa is the coalescence between the private and the public. The coalescence between the private and the public. And it's up to us. We decide the actions that we take now have consequences. They either testify for us or against us on that day. And then we are given a detailed account, a detailed book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in reference to some of the criminals, and we'll end with this. He tells us in reference to some of the criminals on that day, He says, وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Some of them, they say, woe unto us! What kind of record is this that has not left a single thing, neither big or small, which is not recorded? Everything is recorded. Every detail is recorded. It's very precise. Nothing is left out. Nothing is forgotten. This is the preciseness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He says, وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. They will see right in front of them exactly what they did. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord does not oppress anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget. He doesn't make a mistake. The records are detailed, and then finally we are given final judgment. After the record is there, the Quran tells us that we are either given, each one of us is either given our book of deeds. There's two options. We are either given in what? In our right hand, or we are given in our left hand. Some of the verses they say, or behind one's back. We are given our book of deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, فَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ أَفَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. And those who are given their book in their right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. He'll have, or she'll have, a very easy accountability. Very easy. Just like when we come back from abroad and we enter into customs, they just let us go quickly. No questions asked, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are given their books in their right hands, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He will turn to his family delighted and happy. And he will boast, he will say, take my book, read my book. Look at my accomplishments. This will be an easy time for those. It will be swift. It will not be difficult. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. Those who are given their book behind their backs, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. This will be a time where he or she panics. They don't know what to do. This is the final judgment that has been given to them. And this will be a time that many will regret, and then finally we are taken to our final destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, for those who do good, for those who are sincere, for those who work hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for them eternal paradise and pleasure. وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ. And there are many descriptions. We don't have time tonight to go over the descriptions of heaven. There are many descriptions in the Qur'an that talk about heaven. That in this paradise, in heaven, are delights that are unimaginable. Sit down and try to imagine and think all of the great things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's okay, do that, but you still won't be able to imagine what's in store for you. There's great delights, but what is greater, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. But what is greater than the garden, and the huris, and the servants, and the money, and the, you know, food, and the rivers, and the honey, and all of that, what is greater than all of that is what? Is the pleasure of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. And what greater blessing and what greater happiness can one have than having the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And on the other hand, God forbid, the Quran also gives us terrifying descriptions of the hellfire. Difficult, very difficult to read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one verse, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Those who reject our signs. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. Those who will face a severe punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will be given new skin. Their skin will be renewed. After it's burned in the hellfire, it will be renewed. They will be given new skin. What? So what? Allah says, لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. So that they taste, so that they experience the punishment. And thus, brothers and sisters, it becomes important for us. We must realize the descriptions given in the Qur'an and in the hadith, they tell us that a lot of people, for them, the time of death, the grave, resurrection and accountability will be a time of regret for them. They will regret, they will have hasra in their hearts, they will have regret. Why? They will regret that they did not spend their time wisely and correctly in this life. It's a time of regret, remorse. We are not able to go back. And thus, brothers and sisters, it becomes incumbent for us to ask ourselves now. The hadith says, "Al-yawma amalun wa la hisab, wa ghadan hisabun wa la amal." Today is a day of action, no accountability. Tomorrow is a time of what? Accountability and no action. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us time in this life, we have time, we have given moments, we have been given hours and days. We have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to prepare for this hereafter? What are we doing? How am I investing? Allah tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Let each soul ask itself, what has it prepared for tomorrow? What is it prepared? We must spend our time wisely, brothers and sisters, and I remind myself before you that we spend our time wisely in seeking forgiveness. Those who seek forgiveness, those who repent sincerely, truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives the sins. Huwa arhamur rahimin. He is the most merciful, He is the most compassionate. Those who prepare have nothing to fear. Those who do what they are supposed to do and they do their best, they have nothing to fear. They have no problem. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. They look forward to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today and tonight, and the time that we have is a time that we prepare for the hereafter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to forgive all of our sins, to forgive our shortcomings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to hold true faith and righteous faith, to perform sincere actions, to stay away from those temptations and distractions that push us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His mercy upon those who are sick. Many people have asked us to pray for them. Let us recite all together, brothers and sisters, the verse, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure those who are ill. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم شافي كل مريض لا سيما المرضى المنظورين اللهم شافهم بشفائك وداوهم بدوائك وعافهم من بلائك اللهم اغفر ذنوب المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.